Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Well, that was extremely disappointing.
35-yard try for Andre Schmidt, and the field goal for the former Syracuse Orange is good.
It's tough. It's tough to deal with, but you better learn from each and every opportunity.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Four-man rush. Love throws. Intercepted! Picked off! Grant Delpit down the sideline, inside the 10, and down!
That's a bad play call. We shouldn't have called that play. That's on me.
Flacco turns, gives it to the rookie Judkins into the end zone. It's a Cleveland touchdown on the right hash. Daniel Whelan the hold. The kick is blocked. It is blocked. The Browns get the swat. Good snap. Good hold. The kick is on the way. The kick is good. The kick is good. And Andre Schmidt from 55 to give the Browns a 13-10 win.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he...
It's funny because I actually had the thought after the Badgers lost on Saturday. Well, Packers are going to win tomorrow, so weekend will be a win. Well, Brewers are going to do well this weekend. I mean, relatively speaking, that also didn't happen. Brewers obviously clinched the division, and we'll talk about that a little bit as the show goes on. But man, it was a tough weekend for Wisconsin sports fans. Packers snatching defeat from the jaws of victory with 4 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. They were up 10-0, go on to lose 13-10 to the Cleveland Browns. And the video highlights are sitting here playing on my laptop in front of me this morning. What am I, just a glutton for punishment? Just rolling through in front of me. They've been talking about
what, were they showing like five plays? That was an ugly game. What highlights exist?
Well, maybe the word highlights is inaccurate, but there are definitely clips. How about that?
Okay.
Clips from the game yesterday. That just keep playing on a loop here on my laptop in front of me. Dan Orlovsky was on Get Up just a few moments ago. They were talking about the Packers game. In fact, it said, is Jordan Love the weak link? We are not going to go that far this morning, but we are asking you if you trust Jordan Love. After Homer said yesterday that you cannot. Jordan Love throwing a late interception. It was not the straw that broke the camel's back, but it certainly did contribute to the loss. And he was talking about how you cannot throw that interception. I mean, and Dan Orlovsky, Gabe, has been a Packer backer. Right, we often talk about how he has a friendship with Matt LaFleur. There has been talk of him at times joining the staff, potentially, maybe even to coach up the quarterback, since that's the position that Dan played. But he also did point to the offensive line, and that is where you want to direct most of your ire this morning, that is mostly responsible for the loss. So when you look at this offensive line and the injuries that they are currently dealing with, obviously Zach Tom has the oblique. Banks had an ankle, but then you said it's something else as well.
Groin. He left the game with a groin injury.
Groin injury. How do you see the line, best case scenario, stacking up against the Cowboys this week?
I'm assuming it's what they finish the game with. If you're unable to finish the game with a groin injury, I can't imagine you're suddenly going to be good to go in a week. If you're Aaron Banks, who now has had three separate injuries since he's been in Green Bay. He was dealing with a back injury during training camp. Then he has the ankle that keeps him out, and now he's got the groin. So I just can't count on him right now. And I think it's the way they finish the game. And you just need Anthony Belton and Jordan Morgan to play better. Those are the two newest guys. Those are your two backups that have to play better. Sean Ryan's been fine. Sheed, again, he's not going to be a top 10 tackle, top 5 tackle. He's going to be good enough to get the job done, but that also means there's going to be some times where he gets beat. Elton has to be better than he was yesterday. And then those two guys that you're relying upon in the rookie and Belton and Morgan as your backups, they got to be better. They have to be better.
What's your concern level for Zach Tom going forward?
No,
you told me this morning, you said you think there's a chance that he...
Oh, I got to imagine he goes on IR. I mean, if you go out there with an oblique injury, and I assume he made it worse. I'm assuming he made it worse.
Did I dream this, or did Spoon say he completely tore it?
I don't know.
I thought I remember seeing that. I could be giving... I'll have to look into it.
But, fever dream?
You, but much you like, too? Much like the Xavier Worthy thing, they're like, well, how much worse can you make it when you completely tear it?
Yeah.
And you probably, like, if there was any healing, it was short term.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is why, so I got to imagine he goes on IR at this point. At this point, they're going to say, yeah, he's going to have to be out for a while or whatever. I have no idea. Again, with obliques, I usually think of baseball players. And with baseball players, I feel like obliques, depending upon the severity, it's like a month to a month and a half.
Not sure if you got to see the video, but of course, during the game, they showed Zach Tom on the sideline. He was clearly emotional, a little bit distraught, obviously, after having come out of the game so early. I do want to hear from Matt LaFleur, who had this reaction to say, Joshy, to having Zach Tom go out there yesterday, obviously. Not
obviously, 100%. Yeah. I would say if a guy plays one play, and so we got to have some discussions about, like, we can't allow that to happen. It's disappointing when he plays one play. Banks, I don't think that was the case. It was a different injury, so it is what it is. That happens.
Two more, please.
Now, this is very Monday morning quarterback, Gabe, but is this where the team is supposed to step in and protect a player from himself? Obviously, Zach Tom wants to be out there. Obviously, we have talked about he's a warrior for this squad. He does whatever they ask. And yet, he was clearly not healthy enough to be able to contribute in yesterday's game.
I don't know if it was a pain tolerance thing or whatever. Maybe we'll get more information as it develops this week. But Zach Tom had told Jason in a conversation that he had in a story that Jason did over at Jason Wilde at channel3000.com, where Tom had like a bad Zach Tom and a good Zach Tom on his shoulder. Doing the whole, oh yeah, you should be able to play with this. Shouldn't you be kind of being a little bit more careful with this? So he was even debating if he should try to go. Obviously, he decided he should go. So I don't know what went into this decision. If it's completely torn and it was a pain tolerance thing and they thought that he could play, I guess I understand that more. But now you know he can't handle that. Again, it's a torn oblique. I'm not trying to question Zach Tom's toughness by any stretch of the imagination, but trying to play through that, I would admire it, but also, okay, now you got to go get that thing fixed, whether it's surgery, whether it's rest, whatever is required, and I'm guessing that's going to keep him out. Hopefully not all season. Again, I don't know with obliques what that's going to cost an offensive lineman, because again, I think of more, baseball players when I think of the oblique injury, but I can't imagine he is going to be back anytime soon after he plays one play and then goes down.
So does this surprise you at all, Joshy, this attitude of like throwing a guy out there? It feels like the Packers have in the past been pretty conservative when it comes to injuries. Is this I can't help but wonder if this whole go for broke, this whole the window is open, this whole, Super Bowl or bust mindset is maybe changing their mentality and their approach to situations like this.
Yeah, I really only have two cases to work off of here, but with Jaden Reed playing with the broken Jones bone or whatever, the Jones fracture in his foot, and now Zach Tom going out there, clearly not even close to being able to play, it seems like the medical staff, which we have called very, very cautious in the past, has now sort of opened the doors and let guys make decisions on their own future. I don't know what is happening there where how somebody could be that far from being able to play and allowed to start a game. That to me is confusing, and maybe it has to do with Zach Tom not being fully honest and trying to do his best and thinking he can grit through it. But it seems like there is a change in the way it is approached with injuries.
I guess Rodgers probably played through some stuff he shouldn't have, but they still allowed him to do that.
I think Rodgers is a different case. I think he gets to dictate.
Yeah, I mean, but same thing with, I think A.J. Hawk played through an injury that Aaron Rodgers pointed
all
out one
them.
Time. Yeah, played through it because he was always available and just didn't make the injury report. So I think there are certainly examples of them letting him do it. And I would say the Jaden Reed thing, it's not like he broke his collarbone because of
correct.
The Jones factor, right? Like that was when he was out there, he seemed fairly. If you didn't know that he had a Jones fracture, would you have known he was dealing with any sort of injury
no.
watching him on the field? I would make the argument that I could not tell that he looked like the typical Jaden Reed. So that obviously was a pain tolerance thing that he decided and could have played through had he not broken his collarbone. The Zach Tom thing, this is to me a one of one, but it's still worth asking the question of, okay, how was he allowed to go out there if this was going to potentially be the result after one play?
Right. That's to me is the big concern is who's making the decision, who's passing it off, who's saying we are going to give him the ability to go, because obviously they were prepared in the event that Zach Tom wouldn't be able to play. Like that was part of their consideration, but to get on the field and play one play.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, guys. Like how many plays would it have been justified? if he played the first half, are you going, well, he still hurt himself, but he played the first half at least. So we got good offensive line play from Zach Tom et al. For the first half of the game. Like, we talked earlier about playing the results. This is sort of a playing the results thing as well. I'm trying to figure out if you get a half of football out of Zach Tom, are you going, well, it was worth the gamble?
No, if he misses more time, then it's not worth the gamble. That's where it's not worth it. Like, even if he only played a half and now he has to miss six more weeks by playing a half, that's not worth it. It just because you want him back as soon as possible. And the only thing, again, that makes sense in my head is that Joshy's right. It was a complete tear and it's okay. You can't make it any worse. It's a pain tolerance thing. He thought he was going to be able to tolerate the pain and he couldn't. That's the only thing that makes sense in my head of, yeah, it can't get worse. If you think you can handle the pain and still be effective, then you can go out there. Zach Tom decided to give it a go. But I don't know how you don't realize that.
Right.
Before you step on the field. Not that you're going that hard in practice, but to go like down like he did, I would think that you would take a couple practice reps and realize, yeah, I'm not going to be able to handle full speed Myles Garrett coming after me.
Yeah, to me, that would justify it more. It would make it a more of a forgivable mistake. If
it'd be an understandable one.
Right. If everyone understood, like, hey, he thinks he can go. We're going to trust him. It's all pain. He can't do anything worse. He can't miss more time. But it just is so strange to end up in that spot and not have somebody tell him, hey, we don't think you. I mean, you said you had trouble running.
He was having, right. That was the report. Like, he right. was having trouble running on Tuesday. That's why nobody thought he was actually going to play in this game, despite being questionable.
Also, a lot of conversation about Zach Tom, but also I'm seeing a lot of reaction to Aaron Banks. And, of course, that is also a question of availability, a question of consistency, a question of do you trust him as a member of the offensive line? Because it does feel like he has been chronically injured, would be a nice way to put it, Gabe.
Yeah.
Has he completed a game yet?
Did he complete the first one?
I don't think so.
No, he didn't. That's right. Because, yeah, and then he missed the second game. And now, yeah, so he's 0 for 3. 0 for 3. And injuries were kind of the question mark about him coming in. Because he's not somebody who had played every single game for the 49ers before he came in. And the Packers decided that they thought it was still worth the gamble. I mean, he played 13 games last year for San Francisco. So he didn't miss a ton of games, but didn't play the full complement. And now he's had a back injury, a groin injury, and an ankle injury. And we're about to head into week 4. Anything you get out of him at this point, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with. Hopefully he can be out there because, again, I got to imagine Tom's missing significant time. And you kind of trust Belton. You trust Morgan. You don't have anybody else you trust behind those two guys on the offensive line. There is no depth there as of right now, and I'm sure Goody is going to be scouring to try to find more offensive linemen to try to bring into this team.
Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line this morning. Remember, you can get your reaction in. I'm concerned with the offensive line, says Justin in Jacksonville. Just seems like they can't get anything going, and when they do, they get called for holding. I mean, we're talking about the injuries and, you know, being, you know, not as productive as you want to be. But yes, there is the issue with the holding penalties, 14 penalties in yesterday's game. I believe I saw 7 of those coming in the fourth quarter. Not all on the offensive line, to be clear. That was a total team effort there. Let's go out to the phone line. We got Cheesehead Bucky, who's been waiting patiently on the line to react to yesterday's loss, 13-10 to the Browns. Good morning, Cheesehead Bucky.
Good morning. I just wanted to call in and say that I 100% trust Jordan, and I think a lot of people are overlooking what Gabe said. For him to make that error on that interception, we can't make up excuse for why it happened, but for him to have the composure to drive us down and then get us in field goal range, and then Matt chose to run the ball 3 times into the offensive line, I don't think we can ask anything more out of Jordan because he got us in the game-winning position. After making that error, showed the composure to get us right down the field. I mean, I trust Jordan. I think we need to clean some things up offensively. Offensive line looked horrible yesterday, including Jordan Morgan. But I'm not worried for the fans that were calling in last week talking Super Bowl and all this and all that. I don't think this game against this great D-line, well, not great, but elite D-line that Cleveland has, I don't think it's a mark on the season. And I think we've just got to learn from it. Like the one caller said, I think it is a good humbling moment after the youngest team in the league was sitting sky high. So appreciate you taking my call. You guys have a great rest of your day.
800-990-3776. If you want to react this morning to the Packers loss, 13-10 the final. Packers are 2-1. And of course, they have the Dallas Cowboys who got whomped yesterday by none other than the Chicago Bears. Wild. Any given Sunday, huh, Gabe?
No, the Cowboys just, the defense stinks. I saw a tweet from Dan Orlovsky earlier today where he said the Cowboys playing zone is literally the worst zone he's ever seen on tape. Literally the worst zone he has ever seen. And from my understanding, Dan Orlovsky watches a lot of tape. Spent a lot of time, a lot of years watching tape and film. That's how bad the Cowboys
sort
pass
of part
defense
of the gig,
is.
I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, again, this is what happens when this is the Packers' next opponent. So hopefully Jordan Love and this offense can get right. But, you know, I hope they're licking their chops, given that the Cowboys allowed a washed Russell Wilson throw for a career high in passing yards last week and then allowed Caleb Williams to look like Joe Montana yesterday.
Meanwhile, the Brewers won the NL Central yesterday. And if you want to hit up Pottawatomie Sportsbook before a home game but need a ride to the game, you can hit two balls with one bat by hitching a ride on the Pottawatomie Game Day Shuttle. Make any purchase in the sportsbook or same-day sports bet to get a wristband and a seat on the shuttle. Now, again, we just got the final home series. So if this is something that'll work for you, you're running out of time to do it. Shuttles begin approximately 1 hour before first pitch, and return shuttles run nonstop for 1 hour after the game. For more, visit Pottawatomie.com. Bet above the rest. And speaking of bets, y'all know I bet on the Brewers to win the NL Central, right? Plus 425 back on April 1st. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Little cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Did you cash it last night or are you going over it today?
No, I got a whole stack of them. Yeah. I got a whole stack of bet slips I'm going to bring over there, including a couple of Jacob Mizorowski strikeout ones from earlier this year that I've just been holding on to. So, we'll be making a trip to Pottawatomie. I hope that you guys will as well. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
I was thinking... Okay.
Who's Raj?
You tell us, buddy. On 94.5 ESPN.
Connie's Frozen Pizza, the cornmeal dusted crust, all natural ingredients. What's not to love? They've got a BOGO sale going on right now as well, a pick and save at Metro Market stores, so you can enjoy pizzeria quality without the pizzeria prices. Again, Connie's, it's unlike any other crust you've had with any other frozen pizza. So stock up. This BOGO deal valid September 10th through the 30th, so you still have a little over a week to pick these up. Buy one, get one. Connie's Frozen Pizza at your local pick and save and Metro Market stores.
People feeling all kinds of feels this morning. Ronnie in the 262 says, Matt LaFleur will ultimately hold this team back from ever getting over the hump. Jump. He's a really good coach, but he's too soft too often. His personality resonates with players. He's generally good for performance, but I don't think he has that toughness gear needed to hold people accountable and create an identity that will get them over the hump. Reaction rolling in this morning. Lots of people feeling strong things. Do you trust Jordan Love? Do you not trust Jordan Love? Do you trust Matt LaFleur? Do you not trust Matt LaFleur? What is your concern about the offensive line? Are they spreading the ball around too much? It seems like the one area that people are pretty confident in is the defense. So bravo. Good job. Defense coming through, because special teams is not. Special teams is the other area that people have a lot of issues. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Sorry about the tight turnaround, but we got to get to Rob Domofsky. He will, of course, bring his insight to the show right after this.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Once again, Rob.
He's cracking the whip.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just to recap some of the words that Joshy has used to describe the loss yesterday: preposterous, sloppy, ugly, embarrassing, frustrating, angering, collapse. All appropriate, right, Rob?
Yeah, you could add like almost historic and monumental to those, because they don't lose like this very often. I tweeted out a stat from our ESPN research department that I think they're now 303-2 in games where they've led by 10 or more points with 4 minutes left in the game. the one loss being yesterday and the previous loss in that situation being the Seattle NFC Championship game.
Oh,
so that's some pretty bad company.
Oh, God. As if the morning couldn't get any worse. Rob just told us that yesterday's loss was comparable to that loss, which I'm sure people by now have forgotten all about, right, Gabe?
Oh,
that's one that's easy to just wash away.
Nobody's thought about that in years, clearly, obviously. Rob, my biggest concern right now is the offensive line. So let's just go ahead and start with Zach Tom. How did they get to a spot where he was even allowed to play if he ended up only lasting one play?
Matt LaFleur asked that question rhetorically yesterday in the press conference. I mean, you know, of all the things that happened yesterday, I think that one, you know, might be the most, it's probably gotten the least amount of discussion, and it's probably the most important going forward. I mean, aside from the actual loss itself, this team never lets guys play, or they didn't used to let guys play if there was a possibility that they could re-injure themselves or make the injury worse. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm telling you what, we talked about this on the pregame show. Gabe, I thought, no way does he play. I mean, he could barely run in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And then when he took the field for his even after he was active, like, he was not, they had to run. Their tunnel was on one side, and where the offensive linemen warm up was on the far end of the stadium. And I watched him run down there, and I said, well, maybe he's only active in an emergency situation because they only have 51 guys on the roster, so you only needed three guys to be inactive. So I thought, well, maybe they're just activating him in an absolute worst-case scenario where if they lost a bunch of guys that he would play, and that was clearly not the case. I mean, they intended to play him, and I wonder, and I've not gotten any information on this yet, but, you know, I asked Zach Tom on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, you know, I said, is this possible surgical thing? You know, it's those core muscle, sports hernia, whatever type surgeries. And he said, no, I tore it, but I didn't tear it completely where it needs surgery. And well, now I wonder if he tore it completely.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as he does each and every Monday during the NFL season. Yesterday, Homer was hosting the postgame show, does a fantastic job for us here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Here's what he had to say about Jordan Love. Take a listen.
You cannot trust Jordan Love. I don't care if they're paying him $100 million. I don't care how good you think he is, but you cannot trust him. That is done and over. You must recognize one of his weaknesses, and there are other strengths, is his ability to do incredibly stupid things, and you cannot give him the opportunity, because the next time it happens when you do, it's going to cost you something way bigger than this.
That's Homer yesterday on the postgame show. Rob, your reaction to that? And again, look, Homer can sometimes be hyperbolic, but I think the point he's trying to make is that there are these little, I said there's a little bit of a choke gene there where, like, when the game is on the line, when pressure ratchets up, and Gabe points out that he still put them in a position to kick a field goal to win the game, yes, it feels like he tenses up and just can't, like, make the right play at times. What should people's reaction to Jordan Love be after that interception yesterday to Delpit?
Well, there's a lot to digest there, Jen. Let me just start with this. You did say he put them in position to kick that field goal. Well, the biggest play on that drive was a pass interference penalty, 20-yard pass interference penalty, which, I mean, I guess all Jordan Love did on that play was throw it up there. And that was basically the play that got him in the field goal range before it got blocked. But on the bigger picture, like, I get it, but isn't that 28 out of the 32 quarterbacks in the NFL that you could probably say that about? I mean, who would you trust 100% every time, play in, play out, to not make a mistake? I don't think there's very many. I mean, that's the position, you know? Like, Rodgers didn't make risky plays sometimes, but like, I mean, Favre did, and he blew it up. What was Homer saying after Brett threw six interceptions in the playoff game against St. Louis, right? Two of them were – or four – was it four interceptions or six interceptions?
It was six.
I can't even remember.
It was six.
Two of them were pick sixes.
Yeah, that's correct.
On that standard, then Homer probably thinks he you can't trust him either. So, I get it. And it was, you know, look, here's the thing. He said he didn't see the guy. Like, so I don't know that that's a choke. Like, he didn't see him. So threw it right to the defensive guy. Bad interception, bad time.
You know, and people, here's the thing, if they had run on third and three, people would have criticized LaFleur for, you know, not putting the foot down like, you know, like he should in that situation. So, like, there's, you can question it either way. It obviously turned out bad in this case. I don't think that I would agree with that he's a choker or tenses up in big moments. I don't think we have enough data on him yet. And then the flip side point to that is if that's the case, well, then what are your options? Nothing. You don't have any other options.
Going back to the offensive line, I'm assuming Tom's going to be out for a while, given what happened yesterday. Aaron Banks suffers a different injury. The depth of this offensive line is incredibly thin. How do the Packers get better there? Because even when they've been healthy, Rob, there haven't been running lanes for Josh Jacobs the way that they were hoping. And obviously, I mean, smaller running lanes yesterday, and then Love was under constant duress as well.
Well, the running thing has been an issue the whole time. The pass protection, new this week, I guess. Here's the thing with the run game. Until the Packers prove they can run the ball, people are just going to load up on trying to stop it. And, and they're saying, we're not going to let Josh Jacobs beat us. And, you know, so what, 16 carries for 30 yards is just, and twice when they got down and goal to go situations inside the five, he ran both times for no gain. You know, it's just, they got a problem there, a twofold problem. One is the injuries, like you mentioned, and the other is the run blocking. You know, Aaron Banks was supposed to be this great run blocker. And I mean, I know he only played the first half yesterday, but even when he's played, that hasn't helped. They do have a big issue. I mean, I don't know how much of it is Elgton Jenkins moving to center. You know, how much of it is Jordan Morgan playing all over the place. I mean, that guy, you know, I think they're in some ways doing him a disservice by just playing, you know, move him here, move him there, move him everywhere. I think that's a hard thing for a young player to do. So they're in a bad spot right now with the offensive line.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with us. Okay, the explosive plays, the penalties, the turnover, the special teams meltdown. I mean, what is going to be the easiest of all of those things to clean up?
Oh, boy. I mean, you would think, you know, first of all, let's take special teams. They haven't been able to clean up for the last however many years, right? And I don't understand that.
15?
Like, they're different players, different players, different coaches. You know, right. Same results.
So not
there,
that
so.
Then, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Here's one thing I don't know. Did you mention them getting takeaways themselves? Because they haven't gotten any. And don't give me that Xavier McKinney interception at the end of the half. That was a punt.
I was
going to
say,
right?
you're of the belief that that was basically a punt.
So yeah, basically then they just have the one. They have the Evan Williams interception from Detroit game.
In the first week, yeah. I mean, one takeaway. This is a team that last year ranked, I think, tied for third or something like that in the NFL with 31 takeaways, 17 interceptions. We talked all training camp about this ball king crap where they were going to punch the ball out and they were going to get all these takeaways. It just shows you that half the stuff that happens in training camp is a bunch of nonsense anyway, because they haven't not even – it's one thing to not recover a fumble. They haven't even forced one. Like, there's plenty of fumbles that get, you know, you knock it out and the offense recovers. They haven't even gotten that. So, to me, they've got to fix that defensively, because right now with the way the offense is struggling, you got to give them short fields, and the only way to give them short fields is takeaways. And so it all, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. But I think the most fixable thing right now is starting to take the ball away like they did last year, because they clearly have the personnel to do it. You know, I'm a little surprised they've gotten decent pressure on the quarterback. They haven't had a strip sack yet. Maybe that'll come, but they've got to somehow manufacture some takeaways.
How do they get more consistent on offense? Because even, I guess, Rob, when you take a look at the first two games, even though they scored 27 points, you kind of walked away going, left some points on the field there. And this was, I think, kind of, okay, now you're going up against a really good defense, and this is what can happen. You only end up scoring 10 points.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still think they've got to find a go-to guy. And I know the Packers don't want to hear it, and they don't want to, you know, well, we don't need a number one wide receiver. We don't. Well, I mean, like, they had nobody. They didn't have a guy who could just go get them, you know, 7 for 125 and a touchdown yesterday. So, like, I still think maybe I'm in the minority there, but the more and more I've seen this team, you know, struggle to find that since Devontae Adams left, the more and more I'm of a belief that the really good offenses need an unbelievable stud receiver.
Rob, last thing for you before we let you go. I am seeing on the Carbless Talk and Text line, maybe a mention or two here on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream, that you jinxed McManus. What say you?
Well, I mean, my Boldathon prediction was a disaster, right? Because although, I know the block kick will count as a miss, but he kicked it. I mean, I talked to the snapper, the holder, and McManus, and they all said the operation was fine. The timing of it was good. That was a penetration issue. So let's not put that one on Brandon McManus just yet. So that's my response.
Just add it to the Jordan Morgan bad day.
I will come clean. I did curse Rob Domofsky's name when he missed that first one.
Oh, early one.
Yeah,
I'll take the first one. Yeah, I'll take the first one in the second quarter of the Washington game. Like, that's on me. After that, you know, that's what happened yesterday. I bear no responsibility for.
Great stuff from our friend Rob Domofsky. Rob, have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
All right. Well, that was great stuff from Rob Domofsky. And I just told Josh, he clipped that because I haven't heard anybody talking about the lack of takeovers. Well, I would have liked for them to have taken over in the fourth quarter of that game. Could you just take over for once? No. The takeaways. He's absolutely right. This defense last year, that was a calling card. And they have not been able to do it consistently this year. And you would think that with the pressure that Micah Parsons and company are supposed to be creating, that would open up those opportunities for those guys.
Turnovers are the fickle thing. They are hard to replicate year over year. It's just one of those things in the NFL. But to Rob's point, they haven't even been close. They haven't forced any fumbles, haven't been any big hits like that. And yeah, that's been a big issue. Of not even getting close to getting one.
I do think just the way offenses are playing, though, it's dink and dunk city.
Oh,
the ball is hardly at risk. And every time it's seemingly at risk, they're getting close.
What a great point. It's not fun to watch. I'll tell you that right
now. Miserable.
Much of these football games going, can someone throw the ball downfield for the love of God? If you're looking to bring more organization and beauty to your home, I cannot recommend Closets by Design enough. I've been working with Doug and his team in Mequon for the past few months. And guys, I told you, a lot of disorganization, a lot of chaos in my closet. I got a lot of clothes. And the good news is, they could handle it. The personal attention they gave my situation was unmatched. They've been a leader in custom storage solutions since 1982, combining quality, beauty, and a commitment to customer satisfaction. And yes, they're a local, they're a national brand, but they have a team right here in southeastern Wisconsin based right in Mequon with a beautiful showroom that you can visit. No obligation, in-home consultations, custom designs, and the best value in the industry. If you are ready to get organized, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense,
Why did we drink the Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We turn to some funny places for support, but not everyone is a therapist. Not everyone is the one. You can find your right match at BetterHelp. This show, sponsored by BetterHelp. Here's the thing, guys. Everybody needs help. And when you find yourself struggling, when you find yourself in a situation where you could use a little bit of assistance, you don't have to rely on your pals. You can go to a professional. BetterHelp has them, lots of them, 30,000 therapists, the world's largest online therapy platform, having served more than 5 million people globally. It is convenient as well. You can join with the click of a button, fit it into your busy life, and you can switch therapists at any time. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/timeout. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. Josh, you wanted me to wrap there. I can tell. And yeah, it has not been the most fun conversation on this Monday morning. We didn't even touch on the Badgers. Good grief, the Badgers. Did you see Mike McCarthy having a little chitty chat?
Wearing a Badger hat, sitting next to Chris McIntosh at the volleyball game.
Wow. I mean, that's going to get tongues wagging.
Well, yeah, because it's a situation where he's like there because his daughter's really good at volleyball. So that's the reason he's there. Chris McIntosh, you cannot put out the statement that you did on Saturday and then be seen sitting next to Mike McCarthy on Sunday. Just can't do it. Got to be better than that.
So what should he have said? Like, hey, I know we were going to hang out at the volleyball. No, I'm saying, what should he have said to McCarthy to cancel the date?
Oh, like, hey.
Bad optics?
We just had a historic embarrassing loss. I can't be next to an unemployed head coach.
That's a good point.
Pretty simple, because guess what?
Cut and dry.
Mike's going to get it. Mike's going to understand. Like, hey, Mike, you can...
Oh, I thought you meant Mike's going to get it. Like, Mike's going to get the gig.
No, he's going to understand. He's going to understand why you can't... Hey, you can sit in the suite. I'm just not going to be there, Mike. Sorry, pal.
Yeah.
You can sit up in the suite. Feel free. Have a good time. I just can't be there.
I will say this. Again, seeing Mike McCarthy sitting next to Chris McIntosh made me feel a little warm and fuzzy inside. I love Mike McCarthy. I think he's a great dude. Would I be mad if he all of a sudden was coaching again in the great state of Wisconsin? I would not, Gabe.
I don't think he would be either. I think he, if offered the job, I think Mike would take it. I firmly believe that. But based on what McIntosh said on Saturday, that job's not going to become available.
Well, what a rough weekend for Wisconsin sports between the Badgers. And again, the highlight was, of course, the Brewers, albeit losing, winning the NL Central, as we all hoped that they would, and getting the first round bye, which you were so adamant about. Why are you gulping? I just saw a gulp.
Woody.
You know, I almost forgot about Brandon Woodruff.
I haven't. I've been, honestly, I was more gutted about the Woody thing than the Packers loss yesterday.
This was a real pets heads are falling off weekend for us. Nothing's going right.
Wildy and Tosh, I'm sure they'll be talking about it. They're next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.